guest preacher this morning with us. For those of you who don't know Pastor Rusty Thomas, he was the previous National Director of Operation Save America. That's how I met him, and we were involved in ministry to end the slaughter of the preborn in our nation. And he's faithfully served the Lord for how many years have you been doing?
About 40.
Almost 4 years than I've been alive. He's been serving the Lord. And so I always say he's the grandfather of the abolitionist movement. He's been faithfully serving the Lord for many years. The scripture teaches that we should honor those that have been faithful for many years. Amen. So we give honor to Pastor Rusty this morning, and we're excited to have him come up and preach the word of God to us. So come on up, brother.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, bro. Good morning, church. Mr. Sidney and Anna, the kiddos, thank you for your hospitality and love and care. It was awesome. I told Anna, now I got a problem because her kiddos have worked their way into my heart. I gotta leave. Yeah, they do. They do. Now, your pastor, on the other hand, he's a harsh taskmaster. He had me going. He was cracking that whip. But I did get a benefit. After 3 years, I finally got my cookies. The fact that she remembered it was like astonishing. Awesome, guys. No, it was truly a time here with this men's conference, and the instruction was incredible. And I know that especially the younger men loved the hands-on training. And so if your boys get a little bit more rambunctious, you can blame Pastor Darren and Jason. I had nothing to do with that. All right, praise God. Listen, let's go to the throne of grace. Amen. Father, what an honor and a privilege, Lord, to be with the people of God here at Harmony Baptist Church. Father, I so dearly love Pastor Darren and his precious family, Lord, and get to know some of the saints here. Lord, thank you for the hospitality you've shown me, Father, through Sidney and Anna and the kiddos, Lord God. And Father, we just pray for the ministry of your word now. And Lord, I just pray that your anointing would rest upon it and that your spirit would use it, Lord, to build up and feed the flock of God and minister to them, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that through your resurrection, Lord, we have a living hope, Father. Lord, we love you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, what's coming up April 9th? In the year of our Lord, 2023, what's happening here? Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And it is critical to understand that our faith, our Christian faith, the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints, it rises and falls on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How many know the Apostle Paul taught that? If he says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we're still in our sin, right? Every message you ever heard preached from the Word of God is absolute nonsense. Has no meaning, no value whatsoever. And he says, of all men, we are to be pitied if Christ has not been raised from the dead. And you know what the church has said for 2,000 years? Christ is risen. And how does the church respond? He is risen indeed, and that is true. And I know that's hard. It really is, especially in the days of follow the science, right? Isn't it amazing how much we follow the science and how nonsensical it truly has become? We're people who want us to follow the science, but we're raising a generation that doesn't even know the difference between a boy and a girl. How insane is that? But brothers and sisters, there really was a man a God-man. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he actually died. His spirit was separate from his body. He didn't swoon. All right, he didn't just pass out. He actually died, and 3 days later, he was alive. Amen to that. All right, so, brothers and sisters, what I want to do is I want to look at the resurrection of the Lord from two primary positions. Like, what does that mean to us as individuals, and what does it mean when it comes to the kingdom of Christ and our future? Guys, when you look at our nation, we said pray for our nation. When you look at our nation, how many know we're in trouble? We're in trouble. How many besides me, when you look at the future of our nation, it gives you pause for concern? It should. But I want you to know, according to God's word, God's going somewhere. I don't care how much they plot and scheme. I don't care about all the conspiracies and the backroom deals and the smoke-filled rooms and the reset and the agenda to depopulate this planet, the gates of this world, the sorrows of this world, all their plotting and scheming. How many know Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, expecting henceforth till all his enemies be made his footstool? So man can plot and scheme and conspire. They will not prevail. Get that in your heart, in your spirit, because you're going to need that confidence as we move forward in this world. Amen. Critically important. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because there is an incredible boast by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. And how many know if you're going to boast, you need to boast in the Lord? Amen. This is an incredible boast in the face of serious reality. Serious reality. How many know we're up against a vicious enemy? And I'm not just talking about sin and demons and darkness. How many know death is a vicious, unrelenting enemy? Truly, truly is. And so there's this incredible boast in the midst of this reality. And I'm going to start in verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. By the way, in the New Testament, you never see a believer, a born-again child, die. It never says they died. It always says they fell asleep. And when they wake up, woo, glory, serious glory, unspeakable, amen? But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, watch this, death is swallowed up in victory. And then here's this incredible boast. O death, where is your sting? And Hades, where is your victory? Now, how many know that is a strong statement to be made when you consider, since the fall of man from Adam and Eve, how many know there's been millions and billions of people who have born into this world, suffered, and died. How many know that? That is the reality of the history of humanity. There's, when we fell, there was sin, death, hell, and the grave, and it invaded this planet. So every person that was born has eventually succumbed to death. And it didn't make a difference how beautiful you were. It didn't make a difference how handsome you were. It didn't make a difference how smart you were. It didn't make a difference how strong you were. Eventually, we all succumb to death. How many know that's the reality? And take it even further. Right now, brothers and sisters, how many know we got men and nations throughout the world, right? If you took all of our wealth of all the nations and you took all the armies of this world and you took all our weaponry, all our nuclear power, right? All our laser technology. You took our guns and our bombs and our chemical warfare. You put all that together and you go up against death. Who's going to win that battle? Death! Death is going to win every single time. It doesn't make a difference who you are. Death wins. Except one. Except one. Think about that. Think of the odds. One against all that. And what is the boast? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? You ever go to funerals? Because the reality is we see is sin and disease, decay and death. And yet, in the thick of that, the Apostle Paul boasts that Christ has won the victory. He has been raised from the dead. And because he has been raised from the dead, those who put their faith and their trust in him, we ourselves will partake of that resurrection. In fact, the Bible says, when we die, or when he comes, we shall see him as he is, and instantly we will be like him. How many know that's glorious? That is glorious. Well, let's look at this now, brothers and sisters, from the implications of what it means for this poor, fallen world and where Christ is taking us. If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 26. Excuse me. I hate to do this in front of you, but I must. This is the Lord. He's getting close. And he's already had the time with his apostles. He's instituted the new covenant. He had that last meal with them. They sang their psalms. They went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He wrestled terribly. He stood up. He set his face like flint towards Jerusalem. And of course, the betrayal came. And now they've hauled him away, and they're literally going before a kangaroo court. And this is the situation that our Lord finds himself in. And so what the high priest did, he was trying to mount a case against the Lord to find him guilty so he could condemn him to death. And so they had gathered all these different witnesses, and the problem was, according to the Old Testament, they couldn't find enough witnesses to agree. The Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established. So they were all witnessing against him. He said this, he did that, he said this, he did that. But they couldn't come into agreement, and this frustrated the high priest. His case was falling apart. And so he decides, all right, enough of that. That ain't working. And so he decides to lower the boom on our Lord. So in verse 62, Matthew 26, it says this. And the high priest arose and said to him, speaking of Jesus, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. You know, it's getting very narrow for the Lord at this time of redemptive history. And believe me when I tell you, he has to be very, very careful when to speak, what to speak, and when to be quiet. And how many know that's true in life? It was especially true here with our Lord. He is negotiating through things, and he has to know when to stand up and speak out and when to close his mouth. It is critical for God's purposes to be established in the earth. So, brothers and sisters, there's a lesson here. There's a time we need to speak, and there's a time we need to be quiet and listen. All right? The Bible says even a fool, if he doesn't speak, is considered wise. Amen? So the Lord is silent at this point. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us, if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Now we know in Caesarea Philippi, when he was alone with the apostles at that pagan place, he was literally on a rock. In Caesarea Philippi, under that rock, they considered the gateway to the underworld. That's where all the gods and all the idolatry and the paganism was going on. So it wasn't a coincidence that he was there. And it was there he chose to reveal to his apostles, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon this I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So at the most pagan place, at the most demonic place on the planet, he reveals who he is to this world. And then he says, my church, the church that I'm establishing upon this rock, I'm going to build it. And what's going on underneath here will not prevail against the church of the living God. But now it's the high priest questioning him. Are you this person? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Are you the promised one? Are you the Son of God? Now I want you to pay close attention to what he says. This is seriously significant. He finally speaks. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you. Everybody say you. Pay attention to the pronouns. I know we're trying to get rid of them in these days, but how many know they're important when it comes to the Word of God? I say to you, hereafter, you, everybody say you, will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, I don't want to tweak your mind too much, but how many you have been taught or believe that the coming of the clouds with the Son of Man is the second coming of Jesus Christ. How many have been taught that? I was taught that. Okay? Please stay with me here on this, because this is really important when it comes to the future of this world. Notice he doesn't say a generation 2,000 years in the future is going to see the Son of Man at the right hand of power coming in the clouds. Who did he say was going to see it? Who did he say? The high priest, right? All the Jews that were in the room. He said, you're going to see this. In your day, in this generation, you're going to see this come to pass. Am I taking the text out of context here? Is that what he said? Do you know what passage of Scripture he was quoting when they asked him, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of the living God? Does anybody know what passage of Scripture he's quoting here? Shout it out. I'm an interactive preacher. Does anybody know? Does your Bible tell you? Give you a reference? No. It's in the Old Testament. Daniel. Daniel what? There you go. Let's go over there. Let's go over there. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand, brothers and sisters. They're asking him a specific question. Are you Messiah? Are you the Christ? Are you the Son of the living God? And every Jew in that room knew the quote he gave to verify he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because this passage in Daniel, listen, it is the primary predictive prophecy of the Messiah. And it's not a coincidence. That's the very one Christ uses to answer the question. Are you the Christ, the Son of the living God? And he is quoting Daniel 7, 13 and 14. Pay close attention to these words. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Who did Jesus call himself? What were some of the titles he called himself? Son of God, what else? Son of Man. He was the God-man. Fully God, fully man, in one being, without denying either nature. The Messiah. And behold, one like the Son of Man coming, listen, coming with the clouds of heaven. And then it says, he came to the Ancient of Days. Brothers and sisters, who is this Ancient of Days? Who is this? God the Father. Is God's throne here on this earth, or is God's throne in heaven? So the clouds that take Messiah, is the clouds taking him down to return to the earth, or is the cloud taking him up to the Ancient of Days? What say ye? Scripture. In the book of Acts, when he is raised from the dead, the Bible says he had a 40-day conference, one seminar. Does anybody know the topic of that seminar? It was a 40-day men's conference. Does anybody know the topic? Listen, how many know when people get ready to die and they call their family about them, how many know there's something profound that they want to pour out to their families, right? Please listen to this, guys. Now, Christ did that. You can read about it in John 13 through 16 at the Last Supper. He is giving his apostles the last instructions before he is heading to the cross. So obviously, he's getting ready to die. These things are profound. And he is pouring into his apostles his last instructions before going to the cross. How many know that's very significant? But let me ask you something. What do you say to people after you've been raised from the dead? How much more profound? Because you're getting ready to die, you're pouring forth what's in your heart to your loved ones, to your family, to your friends, but you not only die, but then 3 days later, you're raised from the dead. What do you say then? I mean, oh, that's profound. Do you know what he taught him for 40 days? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And after he taught them 40 days, the Bible says a cloud came. In Acts chapter 1, did that cloud weigh him down to keep him on this earth? Or did that cloud take him up into heaven? Where did he go? Up or down? Up. Up. Taken up. Critically important to understand that truth. Now, I do believe in the second physical return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that same cloud that took him up, he will come again. But I am talking in context between Matthew 26, are you the Christ, the coming in the clouds, and being brought before the Ancient of Days. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, speaking God the Father. Now, something profound happens when this cloud takes our Lord. Because you remember when he got raised from the dead and Mary discovers he's alive? You remember that setting? Right? And what does he say? Don't touch me. Don't touch me. I haven't gone to your Father or my Father. I haven't gone to your God and my God. I haven't gone yet. Don't touch me. Okay? There's things I got to accomplish here. All right? But eventually, the cloud does take him before the Ancient of Days. So this is the transaction that takes place. When Messiah comes before Heavenly Father, this is what takes place. Then to him, speaking of Christ, was given. Not will be given, was given. Is that past, present, or future? Past. Was given, listen, dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Brothers and sisters, do you think it's a coincidence in Matthew 28 when they arose early in the morning and went to the tomb and couldn't find them there, and the angels say, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is arisen just as he promised. And how many know the disciples never got that? They, in a way, they didn't want to get it. Right? But how many know? He told them over and over again, I'm going to be turned over to wicked men. They're going to scourge me. I'm going to be crucified. But he kept telling them, 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. And not only didn't they grasp it when he told them over and over again, but then there was actually people seeing him raised from the dead, and he would tell them, go tell my apostles, I'm here, I'm back, I fulfilled my promise. And how many know they still would not believe? And it's really amazing, because when they finally come in contact with the resurrected Lord, you think that would be a great celebration. They would be joyous. They would be exulting. And the Lord had to rebuke them. That's the first thing he did when he was raised from the dead. He rebuked them for their unbelief. Amazing. And then what does he say? Listen. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Why? Well, you remember that cloud that took me up? Yeah, I went before the Ancient of Days, and he, my Father, gave me dominion and a kingdom that all men, all nations, all kindreds and tongues should love, serve, and obey me. Now you go and you disciple the nations and you baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and you teach the nations to observe all my commandments. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Amen. How many besides me are connecting some dots here? How important, listen, in the book of Daniel, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. You remember that? When he was so freaked out by the dream. He was so tormented by the dream. He wanted two things from the wise men under his domain. A, you got to tell me the dream. And B, you got to give me the interpretation. And all the wise men and you know, all the soothsayers or whatever they were, crystal ball guys, I don't know. They're saying, what you're asking is unreasonable. No king, no emperor ever, you know, laid upon the wise men. We got to tell you the dream. Tell us the dream. We'll give you the interpretation. He said, no, 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 no. I know you're going to take advantage of me. Listen, if you don't give me the dream, you don't give me the interpretation, there's one thing for you, off with your head. I mean, no, that's a lot of pressure. And so and the Bible says he starts sending the guys out and they started lopping heads off. And they come to Daniel. He's one of the wise guys. Right? And Daniel's like, hey, what's all this activity about? What's going on? Everybody's freaking out. And they tell him. They tell him the decree of Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, time out. Give me a little time. Let me go before the true and living God, and let me find out what the true and living God might say about this. And he found favor. They allowed him that time. And what happened? The Lord gives him the dream. He gives him the interpretation. And so he goes before Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord, you know, the king live forever kind of deal. And he says, I got it. Eureka! There's gold in them, their hills. I got the dream. I got the interpretation. He said, bring it. What is it? Well, O king, there's this beast, right? And he's got a head of gold, and he's got, you know, and he's got the, you know, chest plate here, and he's got the waist, and he's got the legs, and he's got the feet. And this beast represents four kingdoms. You, the head, then there's the Medes and the Persians, then there's the Greek, Alexander the Great, and then there's the Roman Empire. And then he says, listen, in the days of the Roman Empire, okay, God is going to cut a stone from that beast. How many know Jesus is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense? Pay attention to God's words here. A stone shall be cut out from the beast. The stone will hit the beast. The beast will fall apart and it will scatter by the wind. Listen, and that stone will become a mountain, and that mountain will fill the earth. Now let me give you the interpretation. In the days of those kings, speaking about the Roman Empire, when Christ was born, how many know he was born under Roman occupation? Do you think it's a coincidence that the Caesar was the counterfeit God-man in the world? Do you think that's a coincidence? Why were the early church persecuted? Why were they thrown to the lions? Because it wasn't enough for Caesar to submit to lawful authority. You had to give a pinch of incense and you had to get on your knees and confess with your mouth, Caesar is Lord. Kyrios. And if you didn't do that, you're a dead man walking. Do you think it's a coincidence that the counterfeit was seated on Caesar's throne when Christ was born? Think that's a coincidence in God's design? No, 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 my friend. No, no, no. Now the true God-man shows up. And that's why the early church died. What was the accusation against the early church? Two things. They're teaching us decrees contrary to Caesar, and they're saying to the world, listen, there's a new sheriff in town. There's another king, one called Jesus. And that's why they died. They didn't die because they went around saying, oh, Jesus loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Guys, listen, when we say Jesus Christ is Lord, that is not just a spiritual statement. That is a profound political truth. Listen, guys, listen. Yes, Jesus is our great shepherd. He is the bishop of our souls. That's an ecclesiastical title. Do you know most of God's titles are political? King of what? Lord of what? Ruler. Judge. Governor. Of the nations. How many Christians believe this today? How many believe this? But he said, in the days of those kings, God will establish his kingdom, and it is destined to conquer all the kingdoms of this world, and that kingdom will never, ever be destroyed. When the Son of God went before Father, what was given to him? The kingdom. When did the kingdom come? Most of the church is looking for it in the future somewhere. I'm sorry, guys, but the Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, you know my kingdom has come upon you. There's a new sheriff in town. There is another king. When Christ came, he came with his kingdom. And when he was resurrected, listen, this is why the resurrection is so important when it comes to this aspect of the future. Because when he was resurrected, he did go up in a cloud. And this is when it was all transacted. This is where and when it transpired. So Christ and his kingdom starts with what? Was it 120 people in the upper room? Was it something like that? Was it 120 in the upper room? Do Do you understand today, throughout the nations of the world, we have a few billion Christians upon this planet? And how did Jesus present his kingdom? He said it starts off like a small mustard seed, right? It becomes a hedge, and that hedge grows into a tree, and that tree shoots out its branches. He said it's like an unleavened loaf of bread. Ladies, what happens if you put leaven in a loaf of bread? What happens to that bread eventually? It spreads, and it leavens the whole lump. That stone became a mountain, and that mountain is going to fill the whole earth. What did God promise Abraham? He said, through you and your seed, speaking of Christ, I'm going to bless all the families of this earth and all the nations of this earth. Do you think God's going to renege on that promise? You think he's going to do that? He's not, brothers and sisters. So how do you see the future? What's your future outlook? Is it bleak? Are you terrified? Do you think that men inspired by the devil are going to overcome the plans and purposes of God? I mean, a lot of Christians think that. They really do. And a lot of Christians live defeated lives. They have a bleak outlook. God's going somewhere, brothers and sisters. And he invites you and I to go with him. And we must play our role. We must participate in the spreading of the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? How many you say this is sort of new to your thinking? It's okay, raise your hand. Anybody? A little bit? Okay, that's fine. If anything, you know what I hope I've done here today is to provoke you to study the Word of God. Right? The Bible says be good Bereans. Test things, right? And so I hope this inspires you to really study to show yourself approved, right? But I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, there's more to this resurrection than one day we're going to die and then our bodies are going to be resurrected. That's awesome. That's powerful. There is a place, please listen to me. There is a place in the Lord where there's going to be no more tears. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more sorrow. And there's going to be no more painful goodbyes. There is that place. In fact, the Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of men what God has stored up for those who love him. We get glimpses of it. Listen, we get glimpses of it here. But there's going to be a day. Listen. And it freaks me out. It honestly does, because I'm so used to this life and its limitations. But there's literally going to be a day. We're going to enter a dimension that's going to. We will never recover from it for eternity. We will never recover from it. It will be so overwhelming. How many besides me, you got a pretty big imagination? And by the way, don't lose that when you get older. We get so serious when we get older. You know what I mean? It's like life has beat us down so bad. You know what I mean? But, you know, you could still dream. You could still use your imagination. But as much as heightened as that might be, you're just scratching the surface to the reality of what it's going to be with our Lord in heaven forever. This is all due to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It has implications for us as individuals. And believe me when I tell you, it has serious implications for this world and the future. Amen? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, gracious Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be with these dear brothers and sisters in the Lord. Father, I just pray that the word that went forth, Lord, would provoke my brothers and sisters to love and good works. Lord, that they would search these things out. Father God, that they would study your word. And I pray, Lord, they'll behold marvelous things from your word, Lord God, that would inspire, encourage, strengthen, maybe even correct or rebuke us when needed, Father God. Because, Lord, the deal is we want more of you and less of us, Lord God, as we move forward to love, serve, and obey you, Lord, in this world. And we do pray, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Appreciate you coming and joining us all the way from Texas to preach the word of God to us. Jesus reigns.
Amen.
He has established his kingdom, and now he is advancing it in the earth, and it is going to be victorious. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.